Like the one from Mincha?
You're going to need either Shachris or Mincha. But okay. So tonight we're going to start talking about Kedusha.
Holiness.
Holiness. Kedusha is at the beginning of Chazaras HaShatz. Not the very beginning, but in the beginning of the Bracha of Atah Kadosh. So we have Kedusha. And so we're going to just tonight talk about, there are basically, just to give an overview of the components before we start talking about the different parts here, Kedusha really consists of two lines with a possible third line. The line Kadosh, 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 and the line Baruch, Kavod Hashem. Those two lines are the Iker of Kedusha. The line of Yimloch Hashem Lo'olam is, that line is actually unclear if it's a primary part of Kedusha or not. And there are Rishonim who held that that's not really part of Kedusha anymore. And then the parts in between are basically just segues. That they're different between, you know, the weekday and Shabbos, and between different neschos of Tefillah, between, you know, the Ashkenazim and Sfardim and all the different things. Those are actually more just kind of introductory kind of lines. The Kedusha starts off with an introduction to all of Kedusha, and those introductions change between different Tefillos. We're going to talk now about the regular weekday one for Ashkenazim, and maybe we'll touch a little bit on one of the other introductions. But we're going to talk tonight about Nikadesh Et Shimcha. I apologize if I'm looking at my phone, but my watch battery died, so that's how I'm going to know what time it is. Actually, there's a clock on the wall over there, so I'll just put my glasses on and I don't have to look at my phone. Okay. Okay. So we start off Kedusha. Kedusha starts with Nikadesh Es Shimcha Ba'olam. And we'll go that far for now. It says, Nikadesh means let us sanctify, let us be Mikadesh. Es Shimcha, your name, Ba'olam, in the world. So, we'll get back to Nikadesh is a call to start together, where we're kind of getting everyone on the same page, and we'll get back to the significance of that. Part of a very important part of Kedusha is that we have a call to Kedusha, that we want everyone to start together, and we'll get back to that. But before that, a more basic point here is, and I saw this point first made actually in Rabbi Leff's book on Shmona Esrei, but just kind of expand a little bit, that Rabbi Leff points out, you know, the idea that we have a Nikadesh, that we have a call to Kedusha, that before we can do Kedusha, so we first, you know, get everyone's attention. This is because Kedusha needs hachana. Kedusha needs preparation. Kedusha does not just happen, right? That the midah of Kedusha, you know, like Mesilas Yesharim, there are many, many, many steps before you can get to Kedusha. There's Zahiris and Zrizis and Nikias and all these and Tara and all these other things, which Kedusha is not something that you can just, you know, launch into. Kedusha is not something that just comes, you know, without anything leading up to it, and therefore Kedusha needs an invitation, a declaration, because it needs preparation. Kedusha is not something that you can just launch into. To kind of build on this idea, very interesting, that at the beginning of Parshas Nitzavim, so it says, Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem, that you are all standing here before Hashem, Rosheichem, Shivteichem, Ziknechem, Vishotrechem, Kol Ish Yisrael, your leaders and the leaders of the tribes and the officers and all the people of Yisrael. So Rashi there points out that here in Parshas Nitzavim, it's Rosheichem, Shivteichem, Shotrechem, and then Kol Ish Yisrael, that it's Chashav Chashav Kodem, it's that the more important people, the leaders, and then the elders, and then the Shotrim, and then Kol Yish Yisrael, that there was a very organized, kind of respectful approach that they were standing in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. And Rashi contrasts this with somewhere else where we find that everyone came to Moshe Rabbeinu, which was Bit Yerbuvia, which was by the Meraglim. By the Meraglim it says, Vatikravun Eli Kulchem, Bit Yerbuvia, that you all just, you know, came in a big mess with the youth were pushing the elders and the elders were pushing the leaders, and it was basically a big mob. And the result of these two events, of these two gatherings, are very, very different. The Chet HaMeraglim, so the result of that Vatekirvun Eli Kulchem, was a decision which led to the Chet HaMeraglim. And the Chet HaMeraglim, so we know, like, the Chet HaMeraglim, you know, was a big no-no, and that the Churban is because of that. But just to put one thing in perspective about the direction that the that history took because of the Chet HaMeraglim, you find something very interesting, that after the Chet HaEgel, so Moshe goes back up to Har Sinai, and he asks Hashem forgiveness, and Hashem forgives him, but then Hashem says, Bayom Pakarati, thank you. So Hashem says, but on the day when, you know, I take accounting for whatever's going on, there's going to also be some remnant of the Chet HaEgel that's going to be injected in there also, that's also going to be taken into account. Hashem says, okay, you know what, we'll continue on our way to Eretz Yisrael, but, you know, we can't just ignore this whole Chet HaEgel thing, there's ramifications, and therefore, ongoing in history, there's going to be this remnant, this residue of the Chet HaEgel. By the Chet HaMeraglim, you don't find such a thing. You don't find that when after the Chet HaMeraglim, that Moshe Rabbeinu, asked Kadosh Baruch Hu to forgive the Jewish people, you don't find that Hashem says, okay, fine, you're forgiven, but now I'm going to keep this in mind. You don't find such a thing. And one might be inclined to, you know, your first perspective, that's because, you know, it's not quite as bad. That the Chet HaEgel, you know, that was so bad that, you know, even after it's forgiven, it continues to still have some effect. As the Chet HaMeraglim, once it was forgiven, it was over. But Rav Eisenman, in Tear-Drenched Night, his book about Tisha B'Av and the Churban, which everyone should read, he says that it's actually because of something which was much more fundamental, which is that after the Chet HaEgel, so Klal Yisrael did something wrong, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I forgive you, we're going to go back to plan A, we're going to go back to the original plan was to go on to Eretz Yisrael, and we're going back to plan A, but, you know, there's still this Chet HaEgel happened, so even though we're going to, you know, revert back to how things are meant to be, there's still this residue of the Chet HaEgel. But by the Chet HaMeraglim, it was such a serious problem with the direction Klal Yisrael was going, that Klal Yisrael, it wasn't we're going to go back to plan A. Klal Yisrael was totally redirected. 40 years in the desert is because of the Chet HaMeraglim. We changed the course of Jewish history. And Jewish history was changed. Moshe Rabbeinu did not lead the Jews into Eretz Yisrael because of the Chet HaMeraglim. The Chet of Mei Meriva only happened because of the 40 years that they were in the Midbar. All of the course of Jewish history was changed by the Meraglim. The reason there's no Bayom Pakati Ufakadati, the reason there's no remnant of the Chet HaMeraglim injected into the rest of the continuation of Jewish history is because the rest of Jewish history is a result of the direction that Jewish history took is a result of the Chet HaMeraglim. This was something which totally redirected the course of Jewish history. And that was the result of Vatekirvun Eli Kulchem, when you come in a big bunch, and it's all disorganized, and there's no seder to what's going on. The result is something which is the result of Yerbuvia. The result is something which is totally disorganized and totally has no seder to it, something which is completely out of what is meant to be. As opposed to Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem, the word Nitzavim comes from Matseva, that there's different words in Hebrew which mean to stand. The word Amida means, you know, the position of standing as opposed to sitting, as opposed to walking. Is the Amida just means, you know, it's basically as opposed to not be, as opposed to moving or sitting or being in some other position. It's kind of like a Lashon Shlili. It's kind of by negation. It's standing as opposed to anything else that you might be doing. But the word Nitzavim, so the word Matseva means like a monument, something which is, you know, meant to be here as a lasting sign of something. A Nitzavim implies permanence, something lasting. And Nitzavim comes from Hachana, comes from the Seder, from the planning, from the fact that it was that the Torah is explaining, why are you Nitzavim? Why are you entering into something which is going to be everlasting? Right, that it's the end of the pasuk. The next pasuk is La'avarcha b'bris Hashem lokecha u'ba'alaso, that to enter into the bris with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, you're Nitzavim, you're here to stay. Why is that? Because it's Roshechem Shivtechem Zikneichem Shitreichem Kol Yisrael. Because you came in a way which is a Seder, which is organized, which is thought out. So now with that approach, with that coming to something through a thought out, planned, organized approach, is something that leads to Nitzav, to Matseva, to Nitzavim, to being something everlasting. And that's the same thing, that to create Kedusha, to create something which is meaningful, to create something which is real. So it can't be something that just, you know, comes out of nowhere. It needs hachana, and therefore there has to be a nekadesh, there has to be a call to action, which is something which is, we are doing something which is with foresight, which with forethought, something that is planned out. The Rabbeinu Yehuda ben Yakar, one of the Rishonim, says that the idea of nekadesh means let us be mekadesh. This kedusha that we say in Chazar Sashatz is our own kedusha, as opposed to we say the same kedusha in Kedushas Yotzer and Birkas Kriyashma and in Uval Atzion. We also say kedusha, but when we say kedusha in Birkas Yotzer and Yotzer and in Uval Atzion, that's just Sipur Dvarim. It's just telling a story. It's just the relating of events of what the malachim do. We say that we're basically recounting something that the malachim do, right? That's what we say. Let's steal your sitter for a second, right? In Yotzer, we say, right? We say that kulam mekabel lam ol kashmai zamizev nosim shuz alzah hakti yozor nachtu osav ruvim nima kedush kalam kalachadum gramir. We basically we relate what the malachim do. They turn to each other and they say, and the that's all a sipur dvarim. That's all talking about what the malachim do, as opposed to when it comes to Shemona Esrei, that we are now saying our own kedusha. We're now saying the kedusha which starts with us. And again, we'll try and get back to the significance of why that's centrally important for understanding this kedusha. Okay, so we say nekadesh es shimcha ba'olam. So this is our kedusha, right? Now that when it's us who are being mekadesh, this is our kedusha is ba'olam, is in the world, because the critical difference between our kedusha and the kedusha and the malachim is our kedusha is from within the world, from within the chol, within the mundane. We have the ability to be mekadesh. We can be mekadesh the chol, that in the world we can sanctify the mundane, that from within the hester, within the hiddenness of the world, the word olam is the same shoresh, is related to the word he'elam, which means, or the word ne'elam or he'elam, which means hiddenness, right? The word that the same idea that the world is the hiding of the clear, open presence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But from within that hester, from within that hiddenness, that we are mekadesh, that we have the ability to make a unity out of the apparent disparity, apparent fragmentation of the world, that we have the ability to, from within that, from within the olam, from within this physical, lowly existence, to still be mekadesh, to create kedusha. This is possibly an understanding of why, and we'll discuss in a moment this this point, but that the Chazal say that our Kedusha comes before the Kedusha of the Malachim, of the angels. We'll get back to that in a minute, but a possible reason why it is that our Kedusha precedes and preempts the Kedusha of the Malachim, of the angels, is because our Kedusha is more significant than the Kedusha of the Malachim. Our Kedusha fulfills the tachlis, the purpose of being Mekanish Lechol, of bringing Kedusha from within the Ha'alam, within the hiddenness. Our Kedusha takes from within that and is Mekadish the whole, turns that which is not inherently Kadosh into, and from within that can build and can create Kedusha. The Ramchal, in a couple of places, the Ramchal in Das Tvunos talks about that unlike all of the other Midos of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, unlike all of the other attributes of Hashem, that the attribute of Yichud, that attribute that Hashem is the sole existence, is the only real power in the world, the only real existence, the Ramchal says that that can only be recognized and can only be appreciated through the negation of its opposite, meaning that in order to appreciate wisdom, you don't need to see foolishness to appreciate that wisdom is wisdom. In order to appreciate honesty, you don't need to see deceit in order to appreciate honesty. In order to appreciate any of these things, any of the other midos, you don't need to see its contrast and see how it's not the opposite of what it is. As opposed to the one mida that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world to reveal, is the fact that he is Yachid, that the Mida, the Ramchal refers to as Gilo Yehudo, the revelation of his oneness, which doesn't mean that he's one and not two, but means that he is one and there is nothing else. That Mida is something that can only understand and can only appreciate through seeing the apparent lack of Yehud from having a world in which there's chaos and there's fragmentation and it looks like a Kadosh Baruch Hu is not in charge, and seeing what it would mean for a Kadosh Baruch Hu to not be in charge when L'Asad Lava, when a Kadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself and shows that everything that happened was absolutely and exactly under his control and exactly the plan that he had for the world, and everything fit to a T to exactly what a Kadosh Baruch Hu's plan for creation was. That's the way in which you appreciate that what it means that Hashem is Echad, that Hashem is the Gilo Yichud, the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the sole power in charge of the world, and that's this revelation of Hashem's ultimate oneness is most keenly appreciated or accomplished from amidst the lack of clarity of this world. And therefore, it's specifically from within the Hester, from within the He'alam, within the Olam, within this world where there is that lack of clarity, that creating Kedusha from within that is a much higher level of accomplishment than what the Malachim do. The Malachim, who exist in Shemayim, who their entire existence is Kedusha, their entire existence is Ruchni, so the Kedusha that they do, the Kedusha that they say, is not the same level, is not the same accomplishment of the Kedusha that we do, which is Ba'olam, which is within, which is the Kedusha coming from within the Hester of this world.
So what you're saying is that we're higher because this is a function of only faith, because otherwise it makes no sense. What you're saying is we're aware of his oneness because of the chaos that's around us, which is counterintuitive. But you're saying eventually there'll be a revelation, and then we'll see that the chaos actually was an orderly thing according to Hashem's will. But right now what we actually view is chaos.
Right.
So the only way we can really see the oneness of Hashem is through Emuna.
Well, I would even a step further. Right now we can't really see it. That's why we say, Bayom Hahu Yeh Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. It'll be then, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself, that Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad, that we'll be able to understand the Echad of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's reality. The Ramchal says, David HaMelech says, Odecha Hashem ki heinafta bi, that I will thank you, Hashem, because you abused me.
The
which ki anafta bi, I'll thank you, Hashem, because you abused me. The Ramchal says that in the future tense, odecha, I will thank you. Now, all of the suffering that I go through, I can't thank Hashem for it. I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't fit into a vision of an echad. But in the future, when everything is niskala, when everything becomes revealed, so then I'll thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the apparent abuses that I went through, because I'll recognize how all of them were exactly what was necessary and perfect for what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had planned for me and for creation. Right, so that it certainly is something which right now, and we spoke about a few weeks ago, about that if somebody decides that they're very, very from, and when something bad happens to them, they, instead of making the bracha of Baruch Dayan HaEmes, they want to make the bracha of Hatova Meitiv, makes a bracha of Atala. Right? That you took God's name in vain, because in this world, even if you've decided to accept as an intellectual truth, a correct intellectual truth, that everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is for the best, at the end of the day, you can't appreciate it. It's not something that you live with. It's not something that you can really see. And therefore, to make that bracha is really fooling yourself. We can accept that fact on emuna or on an intellectual awareness, however you want to refer to it. But that at the end of the day, kol zman, as long as we're here, that it's that we live with az yamali schok pinu, that then our mouths will fill with laughter. But as long as it's in this mode of existence, this is the time in which, this is the period in which we're kind of being shown the contrast with which we will appreciate what it means that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. And this actually, I wasn't going to talk about this, but the Ramchal actually talks about this is the reason for Yerida Sadoros. This is the reason why there is a lowering of the generations, that as time goes on, the spiritual level of the world degenerates more and more. Because the further that we get from being close to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the more the chaos in the world needs to increase, because the further we go, the greater the, so to speak, shock value of the eventual giloy, of the eventual revelation, needs to be. That if the that if we would be on a higher level, so the degree to which it has to be shown to us, the contrast between what we see and the truth would not be as great. And the Ramchal says there are individuals who reach a madrega, who reach a level where they don't actually need this revelation of as the world gets further and further removed, the apparent discord has to be increased, because to the degree to which we see what the lack of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in charge, the more we'll appreciate what it means when we see that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is in charge, when you see that everything that happened, no matter how far removed it seems to be, that even that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in charge of, will show a deeper understanding of what it means that Ein Od Milvado, of that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in charge of everything.
I've read where we've had opportunities to have brought the Mashiach, but that like there were elements, there were periods of time, like Shabtai Zvi, I believe, was during that, like that people should not have believed him, but there was a confluence between the land and the emuna, and if we had not messed up, that those were, there were intersectional points that Mashiach could have come. But that's contrary to what you're saying, where everything has to get progressively worse and progressively further away from the Zorot, you know, Hashinai, etc., and so forth. So like,
no, it only has to, that things have to get worse because the level of our appreciation got worse. Meaning, if at a certain point they were holding by where they, I mean, I don't know about the period of Shabtai Tzvi and who really has the ability to say Mashiach could have come then, but there are Chazal that talk about, for example, that Chizkiyahu Melech, had he said Shira at the point when HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the army of the Sancheriv, that either he would have been Mashiach or Mashiach would have come then, and other Makaros and Chazal about, you know, different points. And then there's a Chazal that says that a certain Tana, I remember who it was, a certain Tana met Eliyahu HaNavi, and he asked Eliyahu HaNavi, where can I, you know, where's Mashiach? And he sent him to a certain alleyway in some city in, I think, in Caesarea or something like that, or Alexandria, and he went and he found this guy, and there was a Mashiach, and he asked him, and when are you coming? And he said, Hayom im b'kol lo tishmo'u. He said, come today if you would listen to Kadosh Baruch Hu's voice. So there certainly is a, you know, we have an idea of be'ita achishena, that if we were zocha to it, then Mashiach would come earlier. But that's kind of exactly the point of the Ramchal, that if we reach the Madrega on our own, if we would reach such a level where we don't need as strong, if we on our own can come to this hakara, to this recognition, so then the giloy doesn't have to be as stark of a contrast. But the further that we go, the less that we are in tune to it, so the more we need to be shown, and we can only be shown that through the contrast. And that's also the Ramchal explains a very enigmatic statement of Chazal. Chazal say that Ein Ben David Ba Ella Bedar Shakulo Zakai O Kulo Chayav, that Mashiach will only come in a generation which is entirely meritorious or entirely demeritorious, assuming that's a word. And says the Ramchal, like, well, what does that mean? So says the Ramchal that because if you would be a Dar Shakulo Zakai, if we would be a meritorious generation, we would reach a Madrega where we can appreciate that awareness on our own, so Mashiach would come immediately. But if we don't bring ourselves up to it, then when we keep going down and down and down to the point that things are so chaotic that it can't possibly be that this is what a Kadosh Baruch Hu had in mind, that this is what a Kadosh Baruch Hu planned, and then a Kadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself, that's exactly where you'll get, you know, the most bang for your buck in the revelation that even in what seemed like it can't possibly be HaKadosh Baruch Hu being in charge, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in charge, that is the tachlis.
So why are we learning?
Let's all go to Avera.
Seriously, if you look at the world around you, and you say, the wave is so, frightening. It's almost like a spiritual marvel that's going on. And yet, so why don't we just go with the flow and get on with it, and then the Mashiach comes. Well, if we're keeping ourselves... I know, I'm not saying it totally facetiously, I'm really wondering.
No, and the Ramchal addresses it.
And you have a balance.
The Ramchal actually addresses it in two places, in two different ways. But the when you read it, it's a very funny question. If you read it out of context, the Ramchal in one place asks this very funny question. He says, I don't understand. Why don't tzaddikim only suffer? What? Tzaddikim, the question is usually the opposite. Why do bad things happen to good people? He asks, why do good things happen to good people? Right? The context of the question is this discussion that he basically says that, you know, the point of the world is this giloy yichud, and the more chaos there is in the world, the more things don't make sense, the greater the potential for this revelation, and therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu should just, make everything be the exact opposite of what you expect, and then it would be... So he explains, not somewhere already going off, but he basically discusses that there's this idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a tachlis for the world, which is going to happen, he says, im b'chem ashvuchem loch aleichem, that, I'm having, my tachlis for the world won't be subverted by your botching things. And I'm going to, and the point of the world is going to happen either way. But you have the ability to partner with me. And so, yeah, the more Rishayim there are, the closer it gets in an unfortunate way to that revelation. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu also gives us the opportunity to be partners in that, and just, I know that didn't actually answer the funny question that the Ramchal asks, but I don't want to get too far afield, but he does, he brings that up. Fine. Okay, that one, I don't want to go too far over time, so we'll do one more point, and yes, next week we will get back to putting together some of the points that we raised earlier. So we say Nekadesh Hashemcha ba'olam kishem shemakdishim oso bishmei marom, just like they are Mekadesh you in Shmei Marom in the upper heavens, right? So we in as much as I said a few minutes ago that our Kedusha comes first, but what we say is we're going to be Mekadesh like the Malachim are Mekadesh, right? And we'll get back to that other part about that ours comes first next week. But so we here in this Nekadesh HaShemcha, we say that Kishem Shemakdishim was like the Malachim do. The Malachim seem to be the model, seem to be the ideal, and we're going to do it like them. The Kolbo asks that this seems to contradict one of the other versions of Kedusha. The Kedusha, not the one that Ashkenazim say, but the one, the Nusach HaRizal, the one that the Nusach Svard, and I believe Edut HaMizrach says, is the Kedusha's Keser, right? In Kedusha's Keser, we say, Hamone Mala Im Amcha Yisrael Kavute Mata. We say that the, that's the Kedusha that is on Shabbos. On Shabbos, say Kedusha's Keser, that Hamone Mala Im Amcha Yisrael Kavute Mata. That the, right, in Shabbos Musaf. Or any Musaf, right? But it's so the Kedusha that is said there says the multitudes of the higher realms, the Malachim, im Amcha, they'll be with Kvutze Mata, with the lower world groups of Amcha Yisrael. So in Kedusha's Keser, they're with us, right? In Nikadesh, it's Kishem Shemagdishim, it's we're going to do it like they do. And in Kedusha's Keser, they're going to be with us. So who's primary? Who's the main Kedusha? So the Kolbo brings a Medrash. The Medrash says that a Malach has six wings, and the Merkava and there's two Merkavas. The first Merkava is the Merkava of
Yechezkel.
But in the Merkava of Yechezkel, so the Malach has six wings, and says the Medrash that the Malach has six wings, one wing for each day of the week, right? Each wing for one day. So Shabbos has no corresponding wing to it. So Shabbos comes and says, you know, I don't have any partner. Every other day has every other wing has a partner, and I don't have a partner, so what am I going to do? So the Medrash says that Klal Yisrael says Shira, that on Shabbos they come and we say Shira, and we take over on Shabbos. On Shabbos, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Yesh li knaf echad ba'aretz, I have one wing which is on the earth, and that's the wing of Klal Yisrael on Shabbos. That on Shabbos, Klal Yisrael becomes the last wing. So when it comes to the Kedusha of all of the days of the week, so the Malachim they have the wings. But when it comes to Shabbos, so now the wing below is the wing of the Jewish people. So the Kolbo doesn't really explain exactly what that means. So it's just to offer a possible idea. A wing represents the wings of the Malachim. The wings represent the vehicle of revealing Hashem's presence. The Gra writes that each wing of the Merkava of the Malach had one word of Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso Leolam Vaed on it. The six words Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso Leolam Vaed, one word on each wing, and that's why the Gra says that the Merkava after the Churban of Bayis Rishon, that then it says in Daniel, there we go, that in the vision that Daniel saw, that there were only four wings, and that's why in Musaf we say Baruch Shem. We say Gale Kavod Malchuscha, right? We say reveal Kavod Malchuscha. Yeah. That says the Gra, because the two wings that are missing are the Kavod Malchuscha. It's Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso Lolam Vaed. Those two wings of Kavod Malchuso, those are the ones that are lacking in the Galus. And that's why we say Gale Kavod Malchuscha. That aspect of the revelation of a Kadosh Baruch Hu is missing in Galus, and we want that to be revealed again. And that's why in Kaddish we say Yehe Shmei Rabba Mevorach Lolam Vaed. We leave out in the... Thank you. We leave out in the Targum, we leave out Kvod Malchuscha. It's Baruch Shem La'olam Vaid. So is what we really have a translation of, because those in the current state of the Jewish people, that element is missing. So the idea of the wings represents this idea of the revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world, the revealing of Hashem's presence. And we are that last wing, the final vehicle of bringing Hashem's Giloy into the world is Klal Yisrael. A wing represents, the idea, I think, that a wing represents a level of Kedusha, the ability to elevate from one level to a higher level, right? The Gemara in Chagiga says, a wing represents the ability to go from one level to another, that the Malachim, that the vision of Yeshaya, where the Malachim are going up and down, and here's the flapping wings, and the idea of the wings is, which is, you know, also what birds have wings for, is their ability to fly, is because your ability to elevate is because of the wings that they have, and therefore the Klal Yisrael is the last wing, the ability to elevate, the ability to bring something up, and the day that Klal Yisrael is becomes this last wing, the day that Klal Yisrael, the day of Klal Yisrael is Shabbos. Shabbos is the day of making the physical into the spiritual, is that Shabbos comes after the Sheish Yemei Maisa. That Shabbos is the end because you take the physical world and bring that up to a higher level is what Shabbos is for. And the ability to raise something up to a higher level, Klal Yisrael on Shabbos, if our Shmiras Shabbos is taking the physical world and bringing it up to a higher level, that's the point at which we become that last wing, that last element of revealing a Kadosh Baruch in the world. We show is that last step of taking the world from a place of Chol to a place of Kedusha. And therefore, on Shabbos, the Kedusha is Hamoni Mala Im Amcha Yisrael Kavutei Mata, is the angels with us, because on Shabbos we take over, and the 6 days of the week there's a natural revelation of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in Kvodu Malei Olam and Kol Arts Malei Kvodecha, and the world itself is a vehicle for representing a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But on Shabbos is the time at which we take it, it's not just the world, is we take the physical world and elevate it up to a spiritual point, that's the point at which Klal Yisrael is the knaf, is the wing, which able to elevate the world to bring a higher level of revelation of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the world. All right, I'll stop here before we bypass my guaranteed finishing time. But next week we'll continue with before this idea that, which the Gemara says, that Klal Yisrael really starts Kedusha and the Malachim follow us. We'll try and discuss that next week.